welcome all who've gathered in for our worship service here today in Karatz, and hello to others who may be listening later on at some stage. The announcements that I have for this week are as follows. This evening, there's a prayer meeting here in the church hall prior to the evening worship service. That's at 10 past 7 and finishing at 25 past. And then the evening worship service is in the church building. Monday evening, the first Monday in the month, is the Northern Presbytery Congregation's prayer time. That's an online prayer time, 7:30, and finishes by 8:30. Joel Lockridge is due to lead that meeting tomorrow night. And then Tuesday evening, 7th of December, our midweek meeting in the church hall, and I forgot to change week 4 to week 5. It's the final one in the series of 5 meetings. And the topic for week 5 is Christians as citizens. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 17 is a scripture passage that the discussion questions will be based on. So this is the final one of these 5 midweek meetings. And if you haven't been to any of the others, you're welcome to come along to this last one on Tuesday evening, 8 o'clock, and be finishing by 9:15. Next Lord's Day, then, Sabbath school classes due to meet at 11 a.m., and this will be the final class of 2021. There'll be 3 weeks off then over the school holiday period. Morning and evening services, 12 noon and 7:30 p.m. And the visiting preacher next Sabbath day will be Reverend John Coates of Kelswater. I think this will be the first time that John has preached in Kelswater, in Karatz. He did speak at a men's fellowship meeting, but I may just have forgotten that he has preached here some other time. But I'm due to be in Ballylagan. It's the Ballylagan Communion. They have communion in December, March, and June, and so next Sabbath is their communion and Thanksgiving services. Today in Ballylagan, Paul Wallace is there, and he's taking the pre-communion service. Also, after the morning service in Ballylagan next Sabbath day, there's due to be a congregational meeting to seek presbytery's permission to proceed to making a call. And also, there's likely to be receiving a new member into the congregation in Ballylagan. So that's coming up in Ballylagan next Sabbath day. John Coates is to be here in Karatz. Then a reminder that our church in Portrush, Glenmanus RP Church, are planning to do some distribution of calendars and also an evangelistic newspaper. And that's on Saturday coming, meeting at 10 o'clock in their car park. And after that work has been done, there'll be tea and mince pies in the church hall. I forgot to say to Michael, I was going to ask Michael if I could use him as a contact person. If anybody can help, if you hope you may be able to go along on Saturday morning, if you could say to Michael, they were wanting to know kind of numbers. So... Then, missionary prayer letter for December, January, and February is on the tables today. It's a blue color. In the month of December, we have an offering for tear funds work and also for the leprosy mission. So any donations, either for tear fund or for the leprosy mission, if you mark on the envelope what it's for and put it in the offering plate in the church hall or in the vestibule. Our session meeting, which would normally have been on the first Tuesday of the month. This month it's on the second Tuesday in order to facilitate 5 weeks in a row of living Christianity. So the session meeting is Tuesday the 14th at 8 o'clock in the church hall. A while ago there was a sheet put out for volunteers for a church cleaning rota, and the rota has now been drawn up and copies are being given to those whose names were on the list. And the first person on the cleaning rota, and that's cleaning for next Sabbath day, is Isabel Barclay, and I intend to put the name each week on the announcement sheet. So Isabel's all set and ready to go. And whoever follows after her, there'll not be much to do because it'll be so clean that that's the idea. Now, a couple of years ago, when toddlers was coming to the Christmas break, there were books that were bought and given to the children. But there were more books than there were children actually there to receive them. And so we have leftover books, and some of these are good. Well, they're good quality books. They're new books, and they're available. There's a box on the table in the foyer with some children's books, and these are free for you to take if you want. If you see anything that will be suitable as a gift for a child, maybe a grandchild, do please make use of them. I've put a couple of the main, the biggest book on the table in the vestibule, and a couple of the samples of little books. There are a few other things in the box here in the foyer, but those books are free. And so if you have anybody in mind that you think, well, that might be an idea for them, do please have a look and just take whatever will be suitable. Those are the announcements that I have then for this week. We come now to the worship of God, and we commence our worship in prayer. And if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we draw near to you now in prayer as the God of creation. You're the all-powerful God who made all things, and we haven't the ability to see all things. We only see a little bit of what you made. But Lord, we praise you for what we do see and what it says to us of the excellence of the God behind our creation. And we come to you, Lord, now in the last month of this present year, and we praise you, Lord, for your goodness to us throughout the year. We thank you for the advance of time, and Lord, we are mindful that there will not always be another month, and we know that this world will come to an end in its present form. Help us, O God, to be aware of that. Help us not to think that things will just keep on and on and on. We pray that we'll be mindful of our own, the temporary nature of our own lives and the temporary nature of the present world order. We give thanks, O Lord, that there is a coming day that will change everything when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. We thank you that you promised a Savior to come, that Savior did come. And you've also promised that he will return, and that will be the end of things as they presently are. And so, O Lord, we know that he is coming again, and we pray that you'll give us the wisdom to prepare ourselves and to be ready for that return of our Lord and Savior. Bless us now in our time of worship, we pray. Forgive us our sin. We acknowledge that we come to you as those who need to be forgiven, as those who are unworthy to be in the presence of a holy God. Hear our prayers, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us read together from God's Word. Two readings from the Gospels. First of all, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, and then Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. The two readings are dealing with similar times, but they're telling us different parts of the story. So first of all, Matthew chapter 1, and we read from verse 18 to verse 25. And let us hear this, the Word of God, page 849 in our church Bible. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Most of this doesn't actually relate to his birth. This is what happens before his birth. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And then in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, that was the angel speaking to Joseph. Here in Luke chapter 1, we have the angel Gabriel, same angel who spoke to Zacharias earlier in the chapter. We now look at verses 26 to 38 in Luke chapter 1. Here's the angel Gabriel again, and he is speaking to the Mary of whom we read in Matthew chapter 1. Page 903 in our Pew Bible, Luke chapter 1 at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And we end our reading there at verse 38. Now I want to say a few words to the children who are here today, and I wonder, do you enjoy making things? I wonder, are you any good at making things? Thankfully, God gives some people gifts where they are good at making things. Maybe you know someone who is good at baking or good at cooking, or someone who's good at woodwork or good at mechanical things, putting things together. And probably when you're at school, sometimes you'll do different craft things where you're trying to make something, and that the teacher will have made it in advance, and the teacher will show you what it is we're going to make today, and then you make it, and it doesn't quite look the same as the one that the teacher made. Well, on Friday night at CY, we were making something, and I've been in through in the church building to show it to the children that were in there. We did a craft, and it involved wool and a couple of bits of cardboard. And here is my little effort. Those who are in the church hall can see it now. And this morning I had to remove it from our Christmas tree in our living room. I was amazed that my piece of craft was considered to be of sufficient quality to be allowed to dangle from the Christmas tree and not thought to spoil the whole. I can see Trevor's thinking, I wish I had that man's abilities. Well, this really isn't very good. Compared to ones that others made at CY, this would be, I think, the bottom of the pile. But I was pleased with it, because I don't expect much from myself whenever I try to do anything craft-wise. Thankfully, however, God is very good at making things. And the Bible tells us that it was God who made us. And we'll be singing later on in a psalm about how God knits us together in our mother's womb. And in the scriptures, we're told that we are God's craftsmanship. He is a master craftsman. And he is the one who makes us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible tells us. And every human life is a wonderful display of God's craftsmanship. It's an amazing thing that God does in making a little life there in a mother's womb that will grow and develop in the way that God has planned. And today in our scripture reading, we are told about how the Son of God became a little child in his mother's womb. And what an amazing thing that was. Because Jesus was and is the Son of God. He is the one who has always existed. It was through him, God the Son, that the whole world came into being. And yet, he who is the Son of God becomes this tiny, tiny, tiny little person in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And there's so much about this that we cannot understand. It's altogether too great for our understanding. But God was able to do it. And God did it. He did this thing that's only ever been done once, because God's Son needed to become one of us so that he could save people like us. And so we should be glad that God was able to do this, that God was able to make the very Savior that we needed, that God the Son became that little one in the womb. And whether you're any good at craft or whether you enjoy craft doesn't really matter. But let us be glad that God is much, much better at craft than we are. And the scriptures tell us that we are his craftsmanship. But an even more wonderful thing was when the Lord Jesus was conceived there in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And he who was the creator became that little one in the womb. This is a marvelous, marvelous thing. Now we're going to look to God in prayer now. Be remembering the Eastern Presbytery of our church, vacancy there in the Carrickfergus congregation. Newton Ards is looking forward next month to Reverend David Sutherland being installed as minister. Remember also the church, the RP Church in Scotland, where the congregation in Stornoway has become vacant, with Stephen McCollum agreeing to a call to the Airdrie congregation. Mentioning in prayer, one of our college students at the minute, Kenny Stevenson, and his wife Charlene. They have a little daughter, a 2-year-old daughter, Abigail, and she's been in hospital in the past week with bronchiolitis. And so remember that little girl in our prayers. Let us join then in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Lord, we praise you that we can come to you in our prayers. We thank you that you've given us a place to meet. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word. We thank you for all that your word teaches us about yourself, about the wonderful God that you are, about the excellence of your being and the excellence of your acts. And we rejoice that God the Son became one of us. And we pray, O Lord, that familiarity with that teaching will not cause us to cease to marvel at what an amazing thing that was. We thank you for your great way of salvation. And we see your craftsmanship in all of it. We pray, O Lord, for your working in these times, your guiding of churches. We pray, O Lord, for the various different vacancies, and we pray for the situation with two of our men due to become available for call at the start of next month. And we do pray for Paul Wallace and for John Coulter. We give thanks for the training of these men, for the experience they've been getting in placements. And we pray that you will guide and lead in the congregations that are vacant as they consider the possibility of calling one of these men. And we pray that this will all work out well, that there will be calls, and that there'll be guidance for the men in, if they have to choose between one place and another. We pray for the vacancy in Carrickfergus. We pray for them, that small congregation, and we pray, Lord, that you will help them in their thinking about the future. We pray for the church in Stornoway, with having recently heard that their minister will be moving on, and we pray for them, and pray for them with the great distance that they have between themselves and the other few congregations of the RP Church in Scotland. We pray that it will be possible to have regular pulpit supply there in the congregation of Stornoway on the Isle of Lewis. We pray for the Ballylagan congregation. We pray for a big time in the life of that congregation with their minister having accepted the call to Newton Ards. We pray for the pre-communion service there today, for Paul Wallace as he leads that, and for myself in the communion services next Sabbath day. Pray also for Friday night, for the planned farewell for the Sutherland family, and we pray that that will be able to go ahead in the church hall in Achadui. We pray that that will be an evening that will be a time that will be special and memorable, and we pray that things will go well and for your goodness in all of that. We pray, Lord, for the little daughter of Kenny and Charlene Stevenson. We pray, Lord, for the treatment that she's receiving in hospital, and we pray that you will bring her to a good recovery, that she'll get over this, and that it wouldn't be something that will come back to trouble her again. We pray for the parents, that you'll help them, and we pray for little Abigail in the strangeness of things for her. Lord, that you would be near to her and help her through this time. Lord, we pray for those in our own congregation who are not well, and we pray for your mercy towards people, helping them to cope with the difficult health issues that they have. We pray, Lord, for those who are those who aren't able to be at worship, and we pray for strength for them. We pray for Ewan, who's tested positive for COVID. We pray that it will be mild and that he will get over it quickly, and pray that there'll be no lasting effects upon him. We pray for the health situation in our land at present. Pray for wisdom, O Lord, for everyone and for our leaders. And we pray, Lord, for the health service. We pray that there will be the ability to cope even under all the strains that are there. Lord, we look to you for your good working. And we pray that we will be able to get through these times, and that there will be better days ahead. Lord, we ask that you'll be with us as we look to your word. We pray that we will see your past dealings in the world, and that we will recognize the great importance that those events had for the world today. We pray that you will help us, O Lord, to believe in that son that Mary was told that she would in due course give birth to. We pray that you help us to know that here is the only Savior that there ever will be. And we pray, O Lord, that he will mean everything to us. Hear us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn again to God's Word in the Gospel of Luke. I'm speaking on the early chapters of Luke's Gospel. And last week we considered Luke chapter 1 up to verse 25. And today we're looking at verses 26 through to 38. So last week we saw how the angel Gabriel was sent from the very presence of God to tell the elderly priest Zacharias that his elderly wife Elizabeth was going to bear him a son, and that son was to be given the name John, and that was John the Baptist in the making. And the reason why an angel was sent to bring this message was because this John would be great. He would be great in the sight of the Lord. He was to be the very forerunner of the long-promised Savior. This John was to be the one who would make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And that was good news indeed, because that meant that if the forerunner was coming, well then the Savior wouldn't be long in coming too. And so sure enough, here in the Gospel of Luke, we find that in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, this same angel, the angel Gabriel, is sent on another mission. Once again, he is sent from the presence of God. And this time, he is sent to announce the coming of the very Savior himself. And this was even better news. This was the best news. And I want to sort of compare what we had in the passage we looked at last week with what is here in these verses. And so I'm going to be talking about four differences between Gabriel coming to Zacharias and Gabriel coming to Mary. First of all, I want to speak about a different place. It's the same angel sent by God, but he is sent to a different place. Not this time the holy place in the temple of God at Jerusalem, but this time he's sent to much more humble surroundings. He's sent to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, what is a city? Well, that's a question that is debated from time to time when there's a possibility of city status being granted to somewhere that was not previously regarded as a city. And all sorts of towns make their bids for city status, and some of them many people would regard as certainly not being a city at all. Well, in our terminology, Nazareth certainly would not be described as a city. It was probably a little bit bigger than a village, but it was nothing more than a small town. But there wasn't any word for town, and so you're either a village or you're a city. And it's a place, Nazareth is a place that's not mentioned in the Old Testament scriptures. It's not somewhere that anybody would have thought of as being a trendy place. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 46, Nathanael says to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" That's what people thought of Nazareth. Nobody was expecting anything good would come out of that place. Well, Nathanael was wrong. Something great, the greatest, came out of Nazareth. Nazareth was a very, very ordinary place. It was nowhere special. But this was where the angel Gabriel was sent by God to announce the coming of the Savior. And Nazareth would be the place on earth where that Savior would spend most of his life. And it's just another illustration to us of how the God of the Bible loves to do extraordinary things in the most ordinary of places. And God has continued to do that down through church history. And there have been revivals of the cause of God in places that were backwater places. And they didn't really matter to the people of the day. God chose to use those places. And God chose to work there. And we should take heart from that. It was Nazareth that Gabriel was sent to. A very different place than the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem. Not the Holy of Holies, the holy place in Jerusalem. Different place. And then secondly, a different person. It's a different person that he's sent to this time. It's a similar kind of mission that he is sent on. It's to announce one that is coming. But this time, he's not sent to an elderly priest, but he is sent to a young lady, a girl, probably just a teenager. She's a virgin. Her name is Mary. She isn't married, but she is betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. And Joseph is of the house of David, and Mary also was of the house of David. And like the town that she lived in, Mary probably wouldn't have been regarded as anything special. But for Joseph, she was regarded as very special. And they were to be married. She was betrothed to him. Now, that's not a word that's much used these days. And betrothal, as it was in New Testament times, is something more than what we would refer to as an engagement. Betrothal was a more legally binding thing. It was a deeper thing than a modern-day engagement. If you wanted to break off a betrothal, that was a divorce. When it talks about Joseph being minded to put her away, that means to divorce her. You had to divorce a person you were betrothed to. So Mary was very, very much heading towards being married. And she was a virgin. She tells us that herself in verse 34 when she says that she does not know a man. The "know" refers to sexual relations. She was a virgin. And she was unmarried, but she was betrothed. And she followed God's ways. She believed in biblical morality. She believed in God's standards. She would remain a virgin until she was married. That is honoring to God, and that was what was in her heart. She didn't want anything other than that. And no doubt she was excited about what lay ahead, looking forward to the married life that she would enter into. But all the plans and expectations that she had were going to be thoroughly shaken by the message that the angel brought. So it was a different place. It was a different person. And thirdly, it was a different message. It was another good news message that Gabriel comes with. But this time it's even better news. This time it's the long, long awaited news of the coming of the very Savior himself. And Gabriel tells Mary of the way in which she is to be blessed and favored by God. Verse 28, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Well, Mary was not expecting to be speaking to an angel, and she was not expecting an angel to be saying these kind of things about her. Mary was a humble girl, and she was thankful for the good things that the Lord had already given her. She was glad of her life circumstances, but she was utterly stunned to be singled out as someone to whom the special favor of God was to be extended. Verse 29 says that she was troubled at his saying. This didn't seem right to her, that an angel from God could be coming and telling her that she was blessed among women, that she was highly favored by the Lord. She probably thought he had got the wrong Mary, or he had got the wrong person, the wrong address. Have you ever got something arriving in your doorstep that wasn't actually for you? During lockdown, I went to the door one day, and there were two crates of Sainsbury's groceries sitting on the doorstep, and there was a Sainsbury's van parked in our driveway, and I saw the back of a delivery man who was going to his van, and these were being delivered to our house, but we had not ordered them, and the man told me afterwards that if I had waited until he had brought them into our house, we would have had the right to keep them, and he couldn't have taken them back. But I was able to confirm that he had come to the wrong address. It was a number 8 he was looking for, but it wasn't number 8 Beckett Avenue. And probably maybe a couple of months later, I had a similar experience when I went out, and I heard a noise outside, and I went out, and there was an ice cream van that was in our driveway. And I don't normally get an ice cream van reversing into our driveway, but he got the wrong house again, and he was supposed to be in Beckett, but not 8 Beckett Avenue. And I knew this didn't seem right, and that's how Mary felt. She was troubled by this. Surely it can't be me. And that was even before she has been told what the special favor is. Now the angel Gabriel reassures her that he's got the right person. It is her who is to be greatly favored of God. And he goes on to tell her what the message is that God has sent for her. It's there in verses 31 to 33. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Oh, what a message. What a message that was. What a lot that was for Mary to take in. Mary, the virgin, was going to conceive a son. A son was going to be knit together in her womb, and he would be the long, long promised Savior. This son would be the very Son of God, God's appointed King, who would reign forever. And his name was to be Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. Only one woman could ever be so favored in that way as to be the earthly mother of the Savior. And Mary, this humble girl, was told that it was her. No one before and no one after would ever hear this message. And Mary seems to have grasped that the angel wasn't talking about something that was going to happen at some stage in the future, but this is very, very soon, if not even at that very time. So it's a different message. It's a message about one who was the greatest. Zacharias was told he was going to have a son, his name would be John, and he would be great. But Mary was told she was going to have a son. He would be her son, but he would be the very Son of God. And he would be the one who would reign forever. In the fourth place, then, we note a different response. The response of Mary to the words of Gabriel is a different response to that of Zacharias to the words of Gabriel. When Zacharias was told about Elizabeth, his wife, bearing him a son, verse 20 tells us that he did not believe. That is not the case with Mary. Mary's words are not unbelieving words. She did believe. She believed that this was going to happen, but she didn't understand how this was going to happen. And neither would you, and neither would I. And she asks in verse 34, not doubting, not with skepticism, not with unbelief, but with, how can I understand this? How can this be, she says, since I do not know a man? Mary was a virgin. She would remain a virgin until she was married. But she grasped that this child was to be conceived within her womb very soon, before she would be married. And she believed that it would happen, but she didn't understand how it would happen. And the angel Gabriel doesn't condemn her for her unbelief, because there is no unbelief. But rather he answers her question in a way intended to help her understanding. And he answers with what Leon Morris describes as reverent reserve. He doesn't give a biological explanation as to how this miracle is going to happen. And he doesn't answer all the questions that we might have as to exactly how this can be explained. But he did tell Mary what she needed to know, and he told her as much as was good for her and for us to know. Verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And the Son that would be conceived in Mary's womb, he would be fully human, but he would also be fully divine. He would be Mary's Son, but he was also the Son of God. And the work of God's Spirit, the creative work of God's Spirit, would bring about a Son that was entirely free from sin. The one who would be called Jesus, he would have a human nature, but not a fallen human nature. He would be a real man, but not a sinful man. And would we like to know more about the actions of the Holy Spirit and as to how exactly God the Son became that little one in the womb of the Virgin Mary? Well, I'm sure we would like to know more. But would it be good for us to know more? Well, no, it wouldn't, because God doesn't tell us anymore. God knows better than us what we need to know in life. And we have to accept that at different times in our lives. We're not given explanations for why this happened or why this happened at this time. And this is as much as Mary is told. I came across a story that I liked to illustrate this. It's in a recent commentary that's come out by Dale Ralph Davis. And he tells a story about a couple that had been married for 50 years. Unfortunately, he was a preacher. When the preacher and his young wife were married, they made vows to each other about how they would seek to conduct their relationship. And they vowed that they would seek to be more considerate to each other in the future than they had been in the past. And she promised that she would not be so critical of his sleep-inducing sermons. She was going to go easy on him. And he promised that he would respect her privacy by not looking through the drawers in the dresser that was her dresser. And so that's what they did. And they were true to their words. And after 50 years, their children threw a huge party for their parents. They received many, many gifts at that time. And they were putting some of them away after it was all over. And the preacher, as he was doing that, he noticed that his wife had left one drawer in the dresser slightly open. And having not looked for all those years, try as he might, well, I can't say that he couldn't resist, but he didn't resist the temptation to have a look. And in that drawer, he found 3 eggs. And he also found $10,000 in cash. And he felt the necessity to speak to his wife about it. And she replied, and she said, well, she said, you remember all those years ago, and we promised that we would be more considerate of each other. And I promised that I would stop criticizing your boring sermons. Well, she said, instead of doing that, every time you preached a real snoozer, I put an egg in that drawer. Well, the preacher was rather pleased thought to himself, well, 50 years of sermons, only 3 eggs. And then he said, but what about the money? Well, she said, every time I got 12 eggs, I sold them. Ridiculous story, of course. How could such a thing ever be? Well, the point is, sometimes it's better not to know. And God knows the things that it's better for us not to know. Some things in life, if you'd known that, you would have acted differently. But God chose that you didn't know that, and so you acted the way you did. And Ralph Davis says, it's not that he wants you to be ignorant of things, but to be content that he is competent. He may not want you to speculate, but to adore. Mary didn't speculate. She accepted it as it was. And that was not all that the angel told her. He goes on to tell her what is news to her ears. She wasn't aware that her relative Elizabeth was expecting a son in her old age, and she's told that. And the angel tells her that this is the same Elizabeth who was called barren. She has conceived a son in her old age. This is the 6th month of her pregnancy, and from that he reminds her of the truth. Verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Wasn't it possible with God for Elizabeth to bear a son in her old age? And it wasn't impossible with God for Mary to conceive a son, although she was a virgin. Barrenness, old age, virginity, all stand in the way of conceiving a child, but nothing is too difficult for the Lord. And that was enough. That was enough for Mary. There's no more questions. That's it. She says in verse 38, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. She's saying, I'm at the Lord's disposal. Let it be to me according to your word. And that's the end of it. We're told that the angel departed from her. And this is all we're told about Mary at this stage. Now, of course, this girl, Mary, is very well known. There are many things that people in different parts of the world believe about the Virgin Mary. Many things are believed about her that are not taught in the Scriptures. The Bible doesn't teach that Mary was free from original sin. The Bible doesn't teach that Mary remained a virgin all her life. The Bible doesn't teach that Mary was received body and soul into heavenly glory. The Bible doesn't teach that Mary is someone that we are to pray to, and the Bible doesn't teach that Mary is someone who is making intercession for us. Those beliefs are not drawn from the Holy Scriptures. Those beliefs are drawn from the teachings of men. But the fact that people believe wrong things about the Virgin Mary is not a reason for not thinking anything of the Virgin Mary. And in these scriptures, we are encouraged to think highly of the Virgin Mary. Mary herself needed to believe in the Savior. She needed to have a personal faith in Christ. She wasn't saved by conceiving Jesus or giving birth to Jesus. She was saved by trusting in Jesus as the one who took her sins upon himself. But what a challenge there is to us in the attitude of Mary to this announcement that is brought to her. She says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Well, what she had been told would have huge implications for her life. What she was told would have huge implications for how people would have talked about her in the town of Nazareth. Who was going to believe that Mary's pregnancy did not involve a man? That was a hard thing for Joseph to believe. God had to send an angel to tell him the way it was. We read about that in Matthew 1. Different angel, or an angel that's not named, is sent to explain things to Joseph so that he understood, so that he could be a support to Mary, rather than putting her away by divorce. This was a huge thing for Mary to take on board, a huge thing in terms of the favor that God was showing to her, but a huge thing in terms of how people would think of her. And Mary was humbly and quietly submissive to the things that she was told. She accepted that this was the will of God for her. And she was willing to endure the things that she realized would be coming her way. I think she would have known that this angel wouldn't be going round all the houses in Nazareth saying, "Well, this is the explanation for this pregnancy." And she was able to see what a great blessing was being given to her, a blessing that no one else could receive. What an amazing privilege to be the mother of the Savior. That's just hard even to get your head around. That this little one that she gave birth to in due course and was there as a crying baby and a toddler, that this was the Savior and she was the one who was his mother. No one here today can ever have that honor. No one else ever could have that honor. But the Scriptures teach us that we can have the same Savior as Mary had. Mary was a believer in the Savior that she gave birth to and that was conceived in her womb. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 12 from verse 48, he says, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And then he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and he said, "Here are my brother. Here are my mother and my brothers." And he says, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And so the Scriptures teach us that if we are disciples of the Lord Jesus, if we are those who do the will of God, then we too are like Mary. We too have found favor with God. And if we are those who share in the blessings that Mary has experienced and received, well then, let us also strive to be those who share in her attitude. Mary sees herself as being the maidservant of the Lord. She says, "Let it be to me according to your word." And that's the challenge to us, that we see ourselves as being the Lord's servants, that he can do whatever he wants with our lives. We are at his disposal, and we will accept it, and we will realize that his way is best. And whatever he has appointed for us, let it be. Because he is the one whose kingdom will know no end. And if we have the attitude and if we have the approach that Mary has, then we also will be those who are highly favored of the Lord. Those who are fighting against the ways of the Lord are not highly favored of him. But those who humbly accept him and his ways They are highly favored of God. Amen. Now we're going to sing from Psalm 139, singing part of this psalm. We use the tune Holly, number 15. Psalm 139, we sing stanzas 3 and 4, and then also 8 to 11. Stanza 4, it says, "Where can I from your spirit be? Where from your presence can I flee? You are in heaven if there I fly, and in the grave if there I lie." God is the God who is present everywhere by his Spirit, and we're told of his wonderful works. Stanza 8, David says, "For you my inward parts did form. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will to you my thanks proclaim, for fearful wondrous is my frame." And the Lord Jesus himself was formed there in the womb of the Virgin Mary, a wonderful work of God. And this is the God whose thoughts are always towards his people. Stanza 11, "How precious are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast their sum must be! It more than grains of sand I make. I'm still with you when I awake." So these stanzas 3 and 4, and then turning over the page and singing 8 to 11, the tune number 15. And after we sing, then I'll close in the benediction. Let us praise God.
You stand before me and behind, and on me you have laid your hand. Such wondrous knowledge is too strange for me to hide beyond my range. Where can I from your spirit be? Where from your presence can I flee? You are in heaven if there I fly, and in the grave if there I lie. For you my inward parts did form. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will to you my thanks proclaim, for fearful wondrous is thy frame. Your works are wonderful, my soul well knows. My frame was not at all. They're hidden from before your face, when made within a secret place. You in earth's depths with skill formed me. Your eyes my embryo did see. My days ordained were written there, all in your book before they were. How precious are your thoughts to me! Oh God, how vast their sum must be! It more than grains of sand I make. I'm still with you when I awake.
Now receive God's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.